Well, I too just want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads that are out there today. And last month, when it was Mother's Day, we talked about some of the traits of a mother. And then we applied that to our own lives as believers in Christ. And today I want to revisit that passage that we looked at last month. So if you take your Bibles and open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. And what we find in this passage is not only does it deal with some traits that we find in a mom, but also some traits that we find in a dad as well. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul, writing to the believers, says, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel, in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Well, last time we focused on the traits of a mother, and specifically the gentleness that a mother has, and also the nurturing that a mother brings to her children, how she cares and feeds her kids. We looked at that. And now Paul says again to his fellow believers, not only did we minister as like a mother in that way, we were gentle and gracious and we fed you spiritual food, but we're also like a father to you. And I think it's safe to say that most of us would say that there's differences that we see in a mom and in a dad. I think we can all agree there's some strong points and some traits that tend to stick out in a dad, and there's some that tend to stick out in a mom. Now, at times we do see similarities in them, but there are things I'm sure that come to your mind now as you think about just the mother and the father and their roles that they have. But again, as Paul here deals with the father and treating the believers in like a father, he shows us three things, three traits here that I want to focus on today in verse 12. And those three things are encouraging, comforting, and urging. And we're going to look at each one of these words today and just kind of break it down a little bit. The first word is encouraging, and it is the Greek word parakaleo, and it is used over 100 times in the New Testament, a very common word that you find that is usually translated as encouragement. But what's interesting is that this same word can also be translated comfort and urge, the two words that we're going to look at after encouragement. This word really, these three really are closely tied together. They're linked together, these three words that Paul uses in this passage. Many of you are familiar with the word paraclete or parakletos, which refers to the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, we see when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, he describes him as a helper, or your translation may say counselor or comforter. And again, Jesus there is describing the Holy Spirit, and that word is very close to the word we see here for encouragement. And when we look at that word, it means to come alongside and to assist. In other words, someone is in need. Someone may be broken. Someone is in despair. Someone is lacking direction in their life, and another comes along and assists them. They help them when they're weak. They provide strength. They provide hope. They provide direction. This is the idea of this word, encouragement. So, a word first to the dads. Let me ask you, how do you encourage your kids? Well, if we look at this word, it means to come alongside and to assist and provide strength and to provide direction. And that sounds oh so easy to do, doesn't it? But if you're a dad, you may say, you know what, it's not so easy. It's easier said than done. Why is that? Well, I think for one reason, because as dads, we know that we have a huge responsibility to see that our kids would eventually become self-sufficient. In other words, that they would eventually, quote, stand on their own two feet, right? We don't want them to always be dependent upon us. And this is a biblical principle that we see. Paul would write again in this same letter, and he would tell the believers, he says, hey, you know what? Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You know, get out there, get a job, be busy, work with your hands. Win the respect of outsiders. When they look at your life, they see that you're a hard worker and you can provide for yourself. But then he goes on to say this. He says, so that you will not be dependent upon anyone. And that is not in the spiritual sense, because we are to be fully dependent upon God, aren't we, in our spiritual lives. But in the human sense, in the earthly sense, we are to get to a point where we can provide for ourselves as we grow. And as we grow and provide, the goal is not to get real rich so everybody can look at us and say, look how rich I am. Is it? As believers, if God prospers us and we get more than we need, God says, I want you to now bless other people. Blessed, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So this is the idea, again, that we have as dads. We have that responsibility to do that with our kids. And so often we have to, quote, lay down the law, don't we? Because we want them to get to that point. And so on one hand, we're laying down the law, and on the other hand, we're told we're to encourage our kids. And that's a fine line to walk, isn't it? Because often, I know as I look at myself in the mirror, my kids can probably attest to it, it's a lot easier for me to say, hey, this is what you need to do, go do it. And when they need help, I say, just go do it. As opposed to being that one who would encourage and say, hey, let me help you. Let me assist you in your time of need so that I can help you to become all that you need to be as you grow. And I believe God knows that we as men may struggle in this area. It may be a weakness. So that is why we find scriptures like Colossians 3:21, which tells us this. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become what? Discouraged. Not encouraged, but discouraged. In other words, we can be so oppressive and so harsh that our kids become discouraged in their lives. And so it's a fine line to walk as a dad. So dads, how are you doing? Are you bringing that encouragement, that assistance that your kids may need? And most importantly, are you encouraging them in the Lord? Because this is what this passage is really all about. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Are we assisting them and helping them to walk with the Lord and to grow in the Lord? We're called to do that. Well, how about those of you who aren't dads? You may be saying, hey, I'm good. I'm off the hook, right? I'm not a dad. I don't need to encourage anyone. Wrong. Sorry. The Bible says that we as believers are to encourage one another. It ought to be a thing that we do as believers in our brother-sister relationship. Because remember, this passage is not about how to be a good dad. Paul is talking about how he ministered among the believers. And he said, yes, I was gentle and caring like a mom, but I was also an encourager. like that dad. Let me ask you, is there someone in your life who needs a little assistance, who needs a little help? Perhaps they're a little weak at this point in their life and they just need someone to assist them. Perhaps someone has just lost sight of the hope that they have in Christ and they just need to be reminded to get their eyes back on the Lord. Will you offer that hope to them? Perhaps they've just kind of lost their way, they're misguided, and they need to just be redirected to the Lord. Is that you? Are you the one that God is calling to go to them? Is God putting someone on your heart, even as I speak right now? Is there a name that comes to your mind? If so, do not ignore that voice. Go. Help. Strengthen. Guide. Do what the Holy Spirit does in our lives as believers. Now wait till the service is over. Don't go out now, but go do it. And let me tell you, if there's someone on your heart today, write it down, put it on a piece of paper, stick it in your pocket, and don't throw it away until you actually encourage that person in some way. It could be face-to-face contact. It could be a little letter that just says, hey, bro, I've been thinking about you. Hey, sister, I've been thinking about you. You know what? Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll help you to carry on. I want to just carry your burdens. Because you know what? If you don't do it today, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? That voice that you hear right now, it's just not going to be as strong as it is right now. So make sure you do it. Make sure you do it. Again, make sure I do it as well. And perhaps you're here today and you may be thinking, Pastor, I am just so discouraged. I am so weak. I don't think I can encourage anybody today. Well, let me just challenge you with this scripture. Because God says this, there's a verse in Proverbs that says this, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You see, often as Christians, what we can do is we can become so discouraged that we focus so much on ourselves. And why isn't anybody encouraging me? And we begin to blow up our balloons, our pity party balloons, and we're just waiting for someone to come to us. And God says this, when you're that low, I want you to do this. Find someone that you can encourage and lift up. And when you do that, I will meet you there and I will refresh you. I will restore you. I will encourage you. I will strengthen you when you do what I ask you to do. The second word is comfort. I'm not going to pronounce that Greek word because it's really long, but it's only used four times in the New Testament. And what I want to do is look at another place in Scripture where this same word is used, just to give us a sense of this word, comfort. John chapter 11, verse 31, we find this word here as well. And it's, again, it's a different context that it's being used. Keep that in mind. But it is the same word. It says, when the Jews who had been with Mary in her house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Well, what is this verse all about? If you remember the story of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus who had died. Remember that? And Jesus waited a couple days to get there. Lazarus here is in the tomb. And Mary, I'm sure, had been weeping. She was very sorrowful. She was sad that her brother had died. Now, I have never lost a sibling, but I can only imagine the tears that will be shed, you know, if one of my siblings dies before I go. It's not going to be a happy day in the Rosenholm. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tears that are shed for me. And this is Mary. She's sad that she just lost her brother. And the Bible says that there are these people, these Jews who are in her home, and they are comforting Mary. How so? We don't know. It doesn't say. But if you imagine the scene, perhaps there are some that are just sitting in silence. They are just there. They're present with her. How many of you have ever just been in a bad spot and someone may have been near you and they didn't say a whole lot, but just their presence brought you comfort? I'm sure this was happening here with Mary. Perhaps there were some who were just weeping along with Mary, some friends, some family, neighbors, because the Bible says, what? Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Perhaps some were just giving her a hug of comfort, or maybe offering up some words of comfort and hope and say, you know what, Mary, I know this is a tough time, but you know what? Lazarus had hope in his God, and there is a resurrection to come, and we need to keep that in mind. Though we grieve, we don't grieve like the rest of the world that has no hope. We grieve with a hope that we know where Lazarus is going to be. Perhaps this is what was going on too, as people sought to bring comfort to Mary. And so, dads, let me ask you, what does it mean to comfort our kids? What does that mean? How many of you have ever had maybe little Jimmy, he crashes on his bike, he scrapes up his knee, and dad says, hey, go see mom, right? Let mom handle it. You mean when little Jimmy comes and he's all bruised up, you mean I should go get the washcloth and I should wash out his wounds and I should give that little guy a big hug? Is that what you're saying? Yes, that's what comfort does. And you may say, whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't want my kid to grow up to be a pansy. I mean, you know, he just takes a little spill, wipes out. You know, what's the big deal? He's got to learn that life is tough. There's going to be bumps in the road. And he's just got to suck it up sometimes and just move on in life. Yes, I understand that. There is a difference, though, between, you know, a little scratch and a deep, painful wound. And as dads, we need to pray that we have the discernment and we can recognize that in our kids. Because let's face it, our kids, they can be a drama king, right? They can put on a big show when there's just a little hurt that's just minor. Oh, the boys are shaking their head now. You know, maybe not you guys, but some kids, they can put on a good little show. And so we can coddle to their every whimper. We ought not do that because we're going to raise a pansy. But on the other hand, we ought not ignore real, true pain when it exists. Why? Because our kids may get this perception. When pain comes into my life and it's deep and it hurts, you know what? This is how I deal with it. I just pretend it never happened. I just ignore it. I shove it away in a closet like it never happened. That is not good. That is not healthy. Our kids may grow up to become Christian scientists. I'm not talking about a scientist who is a Christian, but The Cult by Mary Baker Eddy. And one of the things that she taught was this: pain and death are merely an illusion. Sounds like someone who just tries to push pain away and not call pain what it is. And as dads, I'm sure that we can all say, you know what, we miss the boat at times. At times, our children may have been in deep pain and we just kind of fluffed it off. We didn't recognize it. We weren't there to truly bring comfort. Paul says, a dad comforts his kids. Are we comforting our kids? Dads, we need to show compassion. And don't buy into the lie of the world that says compassion is not manly. Because you know what? The most manliest man who ever walked the face of this earth, the Bible says, was full of compassion. When the Bible describes God our Father, you know what he describes him as? Let's look. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Paul says this about God. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. To the rest of you who aren't dads, the question goes out to you. Are you those who bring comfort to other people? And so once again, let me ask you, is there someone in your life who just needs comfort? When you think of just something that is, there's a deep pain there. You know, you talked about, is it James? Jaden. Oh, Jaden. Jaden, just an 11-year-old boy who doesn't have a dad. That's got to be painful. Is there someone like that that you know that has some pain that just needs you to come along and bring some comfort? Be that salve, be that healing agent in their lives. And I realize that it's not always easy to recognize true pain when it's not physical. If it's physical, it's easy to see, right? I mean, if John comes up and he's got a big gash and blood squirting out, and I mean, I think I know he's going to need some healing. He's going to need to get to the emergency room real quick. There's some attention that needs to be given to John. That's easy to see. But when it's within, it's not so easy to see, is it? And so again, we need to pray for wisdom. Because sometimes, as I talked about earlier, we as Christians can just long for attention. And that's why we're crying out in despair when it may really not be a big issue. So we need to pray again for wisdom there. Well, the third word that we find in this passage is the word urge. And it's probably the strongest of the three words that we find. The root word that this word is made up of is the word martyr. And many of you know what martyr means. It's usually translated in the New Testament as witness. And it has the idea of testifying, urging, telling. In other words, Paul is saying, don't just, quote, be there for them and provide assistance, but also speak it. Tell them, urge them. Use your mouth, use your vocal cords. And it's important that our kids, as dads, hear from our lips what is right, what is wrong, what is godly, what is ungodly. That we urge them to walk in the ways of Christ. And I realize that we live in a day where communication is really changing, isn't it? I mean, you could go through just about the whole day, barely talk to anybody, right? Because you've emailed, you've blogged, you've posted, you've tweeted, texted, you've done all those things, and you've never communicated verbally with anyone. And I'm not saying all those things are bad. They can provide effective and quick communication, but there's nothing like good old-fashioned face-to-face conversation. Nothing can replace that. And as dads, we need to make sure that, maybe we're watching a ball game and it's really good and we just don't want to get off the couch. And so what we do is we put off our cell phone and we go, Jordan, clean your room. Send. Okay, good. We don't verbalize it, right? We just do it that way. No, make sure we take the time to verbalize. Some of you who are here today can remember a day where there were no TV sets. Some of you remember that? No TV sets, right? Remember when there were front porches, right? Sidewalks. Now what do we have? No sidewalk. Well, there's some of you may have sidewalks, but a lot of us don't have sidewalks, and we have a back deck, right? We have a patio where we live in seclusion, and we don't face anybody. And yet, it's so important that we are out there and we communicate and we speak to those around us, not only in our family, but out of our family as well. And so to the dads, I just want you to encourage you to use your vocal cords to urge your children toward godliness. Ephesians 6:4 says this. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Again, when you think of training is something, usually it's a side-by-side thing. They see your life, you're an example. But instruction is usually what? From our mouth. They hear it. Hey, this is what you need to hear, instruction. So dads, let's do that. Well, finally, how does this apply to all of us as the body of Christ? Same way. Not only should we encourage, not only should we comfort, but we're called to urge each other in the faith. We're called to do that as brothers and sisters in Christ, which means we're to speak and we're to say things to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to urge one another to live godly lives. Now, let me just say what this does not mean. This does not mean that we become spiritual cops. I read the list of the spiritual gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit there, and I just couldn't find fault finder there. I mean, it just wasn't there. And some people think they get so mature that they are now the spiritual police, and what they do is they just go around pointing out everybody's sins and they tell everybody where they're off and where they're wrong. The Bible says this: every time we urge someone to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, our motive is to be love. And we're always to come with a humble attitude, not a proud attitude. There's a great difference there. Jesus taught this in Matthew 7. Most of you know what Matthew 7:1 says. What? Judge not, lest ye be judged. What was Jesus saying there? Don't be the condemning force like God is. Don't try to judge motives, what's inside people's hearts. But we're allowed to make judgments based on what we see and based on what we hear from others. And this is what Matthew 7 goes on to say. He says, when you make a judgment, when you go to a brother, make sure what? You don't have a plank sticking out of your own eye before you remove the speck. And I believe the plank that most of us are going to deal with is pride. Because we think, we got it going on. I'm going to give this person a piece of my mind and tell them where they're wrong. Guess what? Now we're both sinning when we come with that kind of attitude. Jesus gives the great illustration of removing a speck from the eye. How are you going to do that? Gently, with a delicate hand, because it's a sensitive situation. And again, it's got to be coming from a heart of love, a heart that says, you know what? You know what, Elaine? My heart for saying what I'm going to say to you right now, I'm not going to give an actual thing here, but it's because I just want to see you walk closer to Christ. And that's it. That's it. And I love you, and I just want to see your walk, because I see this sin, and it really affects your walk with Christ. And it's just glaring, and a lot of people can see it. And maybe you don't see it. So I come in love, and I just want to tell you what I see. As opposed to someone at Lane, you know what? You know, we shoot from the hip. You know, let me just tell you what's going down here. Total difference. We are to urge each other to walk with the Lord. And you may find yourself on one end of the spectrum. Either, you know what? That's the pastor's spiritual leader's job. I'll let them handle that. I don't see nothing, you know, gonna do this. Or maybe the other end is just where you feel like you need to always speak your mind and tell everybody. And there's a balance there. And pray. Always come humbly. Pray before you ever go to someone and urge them in their walks, so that you would come with a humble attitude. So let me ask you, is there someone in your life today, as we talk about urging brothers and sisters in their walk, is there someone that God is putting on your mind and in your heart? You know, maybe they've just drifted a bit and no one's gone after them. Maybe God's saying, hey, I want you to go and just say, hey, what's up? Where you been? What's going on? How's your walk? Just start with that. That's a great open-ended question. How is your walk with Christ? And they may say, you know what? I've just been struggling. Then you may be the one who has to be there to encourage and comfort as well. But think about that. Pray about someone that you can urge in the faith. I'd like to close today with two verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And as we hear these words, it's kind of a final charge to the men who are here today, the dads, I should say, who are here today. And then it's a call really to all of us as believers. 1 Corinthians 16. And let me get it. You know what? I got it stuck in between my paper clip. So let me get it here. You can read it up on the thing. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. You know what? Why don't we just read that together? How's that?
Not from the screen.
Not from the screen. Oh, you know what? That's not the right one anyway. I'll read it to you. Okay. Says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage. Literally, act like men. Be the man is what Paul is saying there to the men. Be strong, be strong. But I love verse 14. Listen to what he says. Do everything In what? Love. Do everything in love. Encourage in love, comfort in love, and urge in love. And today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you know what? That means you don't have a heavenly father. Jesus once told the religious leaders that their father was actually the devil. And I'm sure that didn't go over too well to them, being such spiritual guys, but he laid it out there for them. And he said this, if you don't come to me through me and believe in me, then what you're doing is you're rejecting the Father. And so your Father, the voice that you're listening to, is really the devil and not Yahweh, not God the Father, not Jehovah. Today, if you don't know Christ, I urge you to look to Jesus as the one who came in the form of a man, who knew every sin you would commit, and yet he would go to the cross, bear your pain, bear your punishment, and offer you forgiveness. And when you come to Christ, you realize that there is a heavenly Father who is perfect in every way, who's filled with compassion and forgiveness and grace. And does he discipline us? Yes, but it's always out of love. Do you know that heavenly Father today? I pray that you know that heavenly Father, that you have a tight relationship with your heavenly Father, and that you grow in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your great plan of salvation. Father, that we can know forgiveness and we can know peace with you, though we are sinners and though we are enemies of you, Lord, you can reconcile us to yourself through Christ. And Lord, I pray that each one here today would just bow their hearts before you and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they have a heavenly Father in heaven who loves them, who forgives all their sin, and who cleanses all their unrighteousness. And Lord, you call us as your people to live holy lives. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, forgive us when we fail. And I pray that each of us today would go home today and just think of those who we can encourage, those that we can bring true comfort to, and even those that we can challenge, that we can urge in the faith. Lord, help us to do this by the power of your Spirit and with the right heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have a song now.